Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Overseas Connection podcast, episode 425 on June the 14th, 2017. Tonight is not our regular show. We are doing all things E3 and what we thought of the conferences. So we're just going to go through each conference one by one. We'll be giving them grades on what we thought. I'm your host, Mark Wright, better known as Markanics. And yes, this is my debut at being a host, and maybe my last, probably. And tonight I'm joined with Robin Tate and Fraser Moores. Good evening, gents.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Mark.
Hello.
Yeah, you're hosting. Good
I'm
stuff.
I'm hosting, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, put
Mark,
myself
I
forward.
Can tell you right now that yes. if hosting is based on that intro, you didn't drop a skip a beat there, mate. It's
right.
You're a natural. We know that. See, why do you think we've been telling you to do it for so long?
It's not that. It's just keeping you two in check later on when you start going off on tangents.
Shut your mouth.
You better be in the middle of that, yeah. Too.
So we will be back as normal on Saturday, but tonight it's all about E3, and we might as well just kick it straight off, aren't we, guys? With the first conference, which was EA.
How are we going to do this? We're going to talk about the games.
Yeah, I'm just going to go through each conference one by one, and each game was shown. We can just, I'll just skip through the games, and if you guys want to expand on it, just interrupt me, and we'll delve deeper into what you thought about the games. So EA.
I'm sorry, Mike. Yeah. It's your first interruption.
Yeah.
My caveat is you two basically dangled a carrot in front of me and got me all fired up.
Carrot.
Made me jump. Yeah, discussions.
We'll maybe rattle through the games and then maybe review it all at the end and wrap it up.
Yeah.
My
preparation and this is not like me at all, but my preparation is a little bit lackluster for this today. And I didn't see all the conferences. I didn't see EA. So I'll try and give some opinion where I can.
Right,
but I just want to just let you know that before you sort of hand it over to me and suddenly there's dead air.
Right. Okay. So the first game they showed at the EA conference was Star Wars Battlefront 2. Which is a big opener. They had the main voice character actress who plays the female protagonist in the game came out on stage in a bit of a commanding action. And
She was a bit angry looking.
Yeah, she was. You wouldn't say no to her, would you? And
wouldn't say no that to many these days, Mark. Getting old, you know.
And they run like a gameplay trailer for the single player campaign. We've seen a lot of the multiplayer, but this is the first we've seen of a single player. And one of the things they kept saying was they aim to fix the problems with the first game. So what did you think of this?
That girl's name was, I think it was Geneva Anankar.
Gavankar
is her name.
Or something, yeah.
She was... The whole EA conference was all a bit forced for me. It was all like they were all trying too hard. And if anything, they all sort of came over, all of them, a bit angry. And she came over angry. I was frightened of her. What I did like about the Star Wars thing was the content. I mean, all the content, all the maps, all of those things in seasons are going to be free. That's nice.
Yeah.
What I was disappointed in was we only seen multiplayer again. We didn't. Unless I'm wrong, we didn't see any of the single player stuff, and I would have liked to have seen a bit of that.
Yeah, they did show a little bit of single player. And you're absolutely right. They did mention, in fact, is it John Boyega, the guy who plays Finn? He actually announced the DLC is going to be free.
Yeah.
So it's about time these big greedy devs did this and gave us free DLC content. I hope this has a snowball effect and actually a lot more follow suit.
Yeah, well, I mean, the multiplayer did look great. I mean, bit on Naboo or a Naboo-type planet where we had the little robots, the Roger Rogers,
yeah.
that all looked that really looked funky, and it looked like a lot of fun. But
I thought that looked a little bit like a single-player campaign. My son showed it to me briefly, and I thought that looked maybe like it was the campaign, you're fighting that big robot and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, what they did was, after the main conference, they did a 20-minute multiplayer session, 20v20, with a lot of famous names like Stone Mountain and people like that. So that's what I think Robin's referring to. But yeah, they did show some single player right at the beginning, and it looked really good. Got that definite Star Wars vibe, and it covers all three trilogies. So it's going to be interesting. And next, they teased a new IP called Anthem. They only showed a small teaser. This is a new game by BioWare. And they said more would be shown at the Microsoft conference. So do you want to cover that?
We'll leave that until it gets to the real conference. Yeah.
And then next up was another new IP called A Way Out. And this is a true co-op game. It's meant to be played all the way through in co-op. And I believe it said you can either play couch co-op or online. And it's a prison break theme. So there's two guys in prison that they meet up for the first time. They sort of like ally together, and they break out and it goes from
there. It looked really interesting. The notes that I actually put down for it was sideburns. Jailbreak, so it was like the sideburn movie. It's like a buddy movie. These developers are the same guys that done Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. And it looks very, very different than that. And it looks like a very, very interesting approach. I'm glad it wasn't. At first, I thought it was just couch co-op, which would be, all right, but not everybody has a friend. but you can do it online, but it's very strange because the screens aren't split completely. Like, one can be sort of portrait and one landscape.
It were a bit 24-ish, if you ever watched 24 with the two screens, one bigger than the other and that. And it gave me the impression that they want you to play it more couch co-op than online. Having that online feature.
That looks interesting.
And then they showed one of their regular annual franchises, which was Need for Speed Payback, which is the next Need for Speed title. I felt this had a very Fast and Furious feel to it, with the hijacking of a truck. Very much like the original Fast and Furious movie where they're nicking all the gear.
It looked all right, Mark. It just left me a bit flat. And I think there's better stuff to come later on. Like, I thought even the crew looked better than this time round. It didn't look that different from some of the other generic racers. You're absolutely right with the Need for Speed sort of thing. Like the Koenigsegg jumping out of the back of the lorry. It probably will be spot on. I think... I mean, they completely stumbled the announcement of it. They had some super duper YouTuber guy.
He
just couldn't get his words out at all. It looked all right, but okay.
To me, it's just another Need for Speed game. I've got Rivals I haven't finished. I've got the other one, the new, is it Most Wanted? Not Most Wanted, there was another one, wasn't there? It's that memorable, I can't even remember what it is. It's free on EA Access, and I've not even played that. It didn't give me that sort of like urge to play it. Did you catch any of this, Fraser, or none of this at all?
I didn't see Need for Speed, no.
It didn't really...
And I don't think I've ever played a Need for Speed game anyway, I doubt I would have paid it.
It didn't even give you... Well, I didn't catch any sort of like story insight if you're undercover cop or anything. It's just this crew sort of like hijacking a truck. That's all you got from it. The next bit is something I might be interested in. And for me, this was sort of like probably the highlight of EA's conference because I thought it was very lackluster. And that's the Battlefield 1 expansion. They're bringing new night maps this summer, and they're also bringing a new add-on called In the Name of Tsar, which is the a Russian element to World War One, where they had female snipers.
Yeah, they're bringing the girlies in there, the women's battalion.
Yeah,
Yeah, they introduced this really weirdly. It was like this sort of cartoon, like Fallout cartoon at the beginning of it all. Yeah. Like it was all lighthearted and then it got straight into nice, jolly World War One. I haven't played Battlefield yet because this ULog stupid thing that somebody invented. So I'm looking forward to going in and playing all of these the little games, and it's going to be a nice package by the time I get here. It'll probably be in EA Access by that stage.
Well, actually, that's the point. Is that Name of Azar, will that be single player as well as multiplayer add-on?
It looks to me like it should be some sort of single-player add-on. Yeah. I don't understand. But I'm reading here, and I can't really distinguish what it is that's... It says here that it's going to add new maps from World War One's Eastern Front. The expansion will add 6 new maps.
Yeah. I know there's definitely...
But I don't see anything specifically saying it's a single-player campaign, which the way Battlefield 1 was, or is, with its sort of small campaigns, you would think that they could add them pretty easily.
Yeah, but you think they'd just add an extra vignette onto the like world map on the main menu? It'd be quite easy for them to do.
Yeah, well, see, the Russians have got a Battlefield as well, you know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well,
Russians everywhere.
Trump's in with Russians now, isn't he, sir?
And
then they went on to the obligatory sports games, which personally bored the shit out of me. But
it's been worse.
Don't mince your words there, Mark.
Yeah. It has been worse. Has been worse, Mark.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we didn't have Pele on the stage for half an hour, but getting really awkward.
Now I can imagine Gary DeFelice and our own Greg DeLacy getting excited about this. But Madden 18 is getting a story mode like we had in FIFA 17 last year. So it's the American version of Alex Hunter. I can't remember what his name is. I know the father is quite a famous actor who plays him, and they've captured his mocap likeness very well. I can't remember his name, but he's been in quite a few films and TV shows. So
Madden, FIFA, NBA, worst demo ever.
And this one is now getting the Frostbite engine like on FIFA as well. So this is a change for Madden on that side.
I know nothing about American football.
No, I don't really
at all. But I know Greg's excited about this, so there must have been something in it that interested him.
And our friend likes to call it armored wank ball. So
armored wank ball,
for sure.
And FIFA's important, you know. But all those people, it's got Ronaldo now mocapped.
Fueled by Ronaldo. Is that a posh way of saying that they're just using him for sponsorship?
Something like that, that's what it is. They mocapped him for a day, kicking a ball about.
Yeah, and looking all sexy and making all the girls bloody faint. But that's also carrying on the Alex Hunter story, so that's like part two of his story. So it's got that single-player element as well. And to be fair, FIFA 17, I played a little bit of the story mode, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it'd be. It wasn't brilliant, like but it was different.
Lots of our listeners play lots of all of these games, FIFA and Madden.
Yeah.
And
FIFA's huge.
It's not really our cup of tea, some of us here on the podcast group, but FIFA is just a monster. It is a monster.
And then they finished up with NBA 18, which is the basketball game. And this sort of like had a bit of a twist this year, where they're mixing up the normal NBA tournament games with street court style play. So they're throwing that element into it now. So something a little bit different if those people like the basketball games, like Big Smooth. He'll probably pick this up, but it's not for me.
I thought actually there was a quote that I put down for the guy from Sideburn Guy from the Jailbreak. Actually, just wrote this little quote down. I thought it was brilliant. You're going to be able to play everything. Well, no, not everything, but a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that was the a way out guy. Yeah, that was it.
He had like three cans of a Red Bull too many at that stage, I think. Yeah,
he had the leftovers of cans of Thunder from EGX. But yeah, you can play everything. Well, not everything.
Everything, not everything.
Yeah. So that was much it for EA. So I thought it was a bit dull, really, to be honest. So grading wise, I only gave it a D+, because, like I say, it didn't really excite me at all. Battlefront 2, That was interesting, and the Battlefield 1 bit. The rest of it, I just didn't interest. So I gave it a D+.
Well, sorry, what do you give it?
A D plus.
D plus, that's harsh.
Yeah.
I can jump on board with that. It just doesn't seem to be much jumping out at me there.
Yeah, well, Battlefront 2, Battlefield DLC, I'm interested in A Way Out, probably out of all of those things. Anthem, of course, yes, but at that stage there wasn't a lot about it.
Now, if they'd have shown a lot of Anthem, might have got a higher grade, but they left that for the Microsoft.
Yeah. They were trying too hard. Yeah. Trying too hard.
Yeah.
A C for me. C, please, Bob.
C, yeah. What did you say, Fraser? You're going with a D+ as well, are you?
Oh, I'll sure, why not? I'll jump on board the D+ train. Toot, toot.
Any other thoughts on EA? We're going to move on to Microsoft.
EA, innit?
Yeah.
It's in a game.
Yeah. So, next up was one of the big two. You've got Microsoft and Sony's the big ones. We've got Microsoft.
The winner.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. And they went on a Sunday this year round. They normally go on a Monday, but they went a day early. And then it started off with Phil Spencer coming out and introducing us to the Scorpio, which is going to be now known as the Xbox One X, out on November the 7th for $499 or £449 in the UK. The Xbox One S is going to be $250, but during E3 week between the 11th and 17th of June, that's $50 off, so that's only $200 this week. So that's a bargain for the S, because that's still a 4K machine with HDR. So what are your thoughts on the new Scorpio a la Xbox One X? Are we getting one?
Well.
Here we go.
Robin's arms are crossed.
Who invited Fraser? Well, I've started my own fund already. I have a box, and I have a £10 note in already, and I have started saving for it. Yeah, and I keep checking Amazon's website for pre-orders, and it's not live yet. So,
yeah, I'm
getting
strange.
One.
Strange.
Yeah,
I'm picking up some echo.
Same here.
Okay. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to be getting it, dependent on cash, obviously.
Yeah, well, I think I'll be flogging one of my Xbox Ones, and definitely a Scorpio will arrive here on opening day for me. My challenge is upgrading my projector, because that would be the main one.
Yeah, that's going to be
a 4K projector is big bucks still, but we'll see between now and the end of the year.
It seems like
quite a bit of kit. I mean,
yeah. That was one of the things for me, you see, because with the PS4 Pro, one of the reasons I didn't go for that was I don't have a 4K TV. So you might be thinking, well, why do I want an Xbox One X? Because this has got the super sampling. So even with a 1080p TV, they guarantee you're going to see huge improvements over visual fidelity as well as speed and frame rate. So that for me, because I've had a taste of the PC Master Race with the computer I got recently, what I've sort of like done up a bit, and I've seen the frame rates on that, and yeah, I like the taste of that. So, and it was a choice between getting a super duper graphics card or getting the Xbox One X, but because of the game sharing, I've got to go the One X. Because the card I've got.
There was lots of words at the beginning that I didn't understand. Yeah, and I heard people going, ooh, vapor chambers. That all sounds absolutely wonderful. But do you know what? I don't care what's inside the tin. But if they say that it's going to do the things that it says it's going to do, wow.
Yeah.
That really interested me, being a bit of a sound nerd, the Dolby Atmos thing in it is fantastic. Even just to watch movies through it now, being able to access Dolby Atmos in a box that costs less than £500 is akin to having a DVD player and a PlayStation 2. I mean, that's fantastic for soundophiles. Do I care that it's the smallest Xbox ever? No, because it's underneath the box. Yeah. Doesn't make a jot of difference to me.
Was that a bit of a shock to you guys then? The size of it, it's smaller than an Xbox One S. How have they done that? It's amazing.
Which is great, but I don't really, honestly, I don't look at my Xbox Ones and go, no, and I have two Xbox One originals. Yeah. I don't look at them and think it's too big. It doesn't bother me. It's immaterial.
Yeah.
You know, I was very pleased my tune has changed a little bit over the years, over the last couple of years, and this path of upgrade. I'm buying into it now, and I like the fact, you know, the main thing that made me stand up and take notice of this console when they were talking about it was and it sounds really odd to say it, but as soon as they said all your peripherals will work.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And all your library is going to be fine.
And not just your Xbox One games, your 360 ones as well.
Yeah, once they say that, I don't feel as though I'm being left behind. I don't feel as though I need to have – first of all, I don't feel like I need to have it. I'm not – in a right, well, one, the Canadian dollar is so in the tank, this is going to be so expensive. I think I'm going to have to wait.
Well, can't you but, just,
and I don't have a and I don't have a 4K TV.
Yeah,
so you know, I'm not
bother and buy one.
Maybe still, if they nab you, I got to pay duty, right?
So it doesn't matter. Here, right?
Yeah, but I think where they've approached this as far as the 4K upscaling to 1080p TVs is better explained than the PlayStation Pro, which is very important here.
It looks great.
Size doesn't matter. I mean, that's what you're trying to say here. You've got to learn over the years, Fraser, that it doesn't matter what size it is.
It
works anyway.
You and I are more than familiar with, Robin. That if we start obsessing over size.
So, yes, it's a more powerful box. That's what's important to me. It's priced, disappointingly a little bit higher than we all hoped for, but we shouldn't have hoped for that $399 price. We really shouldn't have, because we were told that it was a premium box.
Yeah,
we were told. So, but it's not. But if it had been $599 or some of the scary $700s that were out there, that would have been crazy.
Yeah.
Will it eventually get $100 cheaper? Of course it will. Yeah, will it eventually replace the Xbox One S? Of course it will. But as Fraser says, it's that step, that upgrade thing every 4 or 5 years. It's going to happen now.
Yeah.
And the way they've built the shell around the 360 and now OG games, again, everything is going to be transferable unless some big massive leap of technology and Bluetooth or wireless for controllers, unless something changes dramatically in the future, that some breakthrough. But being able to use your sphericals and everything that you have is great. And plus now the extra addition of the buy anywhere thing that you can play on Xbox or on PC, it's one beautiful big family now.
I mean, we were having a discussion earlier about, you know, what's better and what's worse and whatever. But I mean, a lot of us are buying in, a lot of us here, for me anyway, I mean, I bought into the Xbox. It works for me. It started off with game sharing. I have game sharing in the house now, you know, across the platform. The Xbox Live service works a treat. My library now is feeling more secure and relevant than it has, you know, or as relevant as a Steam library. That's worth something, isn't it? You know,
but and you made a very good point earlier on about Steam boxes. And I think the Xbox One is as close to a Steam box as you can get now, with the library and old stuff and the crossover between PC and all of that. That is as close as you can get. And that's maybe what they intentioned, but this is what it is.
Yeah, I think what Fraser mentioned as well is the biggest thing. Like, when you first got your Xbox One, there weren't that many games and you were a bit limited. But now, just your massive existing library, it just rolls on and on. And I'm sure they're going to do this with the next iteration and next. And I think they're onto a winner with that.
For me, the Microsoft conference was about Microsoft communicating that the Xbox One or Xbox One X is the place to play third party and their own games. Of course, that's to be, but this where third-party games will look and run the best out of anything that's out there. And I think they communicated that very, very well.
Yeah. So next up, they had the first of their console exclusives. Well, when I say console, I should say Xbox exclusives, because it's also on the Windows platform. And that's Forza 7.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and they opened this by actually revealing a brand new car from Porsche. The first time they've actually done this, apparently, revealed to the world a new car, not at a vehicle trade show, but at a game trade show. So I can understand their excitement with that, but to me personally, I didn't see the relevance. Yeah, it's nice to have that car on stage, but...
Money, dollar bill, yo.
Yeah, the tie-in with Porsche is pretty relevant, because I don't think Porsche have been... No. Present on any racers, have they? I'm not sure. Yeah. Porsche in Gran Turismo? I don't.
There was a Porsche pack for the last Forza.
Yeah, a lot of them, but Porsche have had to make you buy the add-ons, haven't they? The licensing deal. But now they've got a... Did Dan Greenwald say they've got a 10-year deal now with Porsche, or a 7-year deal?
Something like that.
So they've got a deal with Porsche.
But Forza 7. I mean, if you look at my most played games, it's all driving games, and Forza is up there, and probably the where I've spent my most time. So this is big for me. So when I will be getting this, doesn't matter what, and I will buy the premium thing, and I'll be playing this for months with it, and I'll get back into my racing with all my racing buddies again. But out of the things, and again, it's like a bit like FIFA. Thankfully, it's not every year, but. The advancements are, yes, the graphics and the Xbox One X, but things within the game like puddles that dissipate. I know that sounds stupid, but when you're in a wet race and you go around 30 cars go around a track, puddles clear away, but they didn't in the previous games. This is going to happen now. Yeah. Or when it rains, puddles will get bigger as the rain comes on and stuff like that. And those little fine details are what fours are really, really good at. And of course, the last one was locked at 60 frames per second. It's easy enough to do it because you're in a track rather than open world. But this is every Forza game for the last two or three generations has looked beautiful. And this will be, again, second to none.
On the Xbox One X, this will run native 4K with a rock solid 60 frames. Second.
Rock solid. So Forza is that is the place to play if you're not, unless you're on a PC and you really want a full sim. But Forza is the closest thing you have to racing without the full sim thing, but still simmy enough to attract me.
Funnily enough, I didn't mention anything about driver tires. Do you think we're going to keep those?
They're just here now. They're in everything now.
And like you said, I like the difference now with the dynamic weather, whereas in Forza 6, it's either a raining scenario with set puddles or it's a dry scenario or your night races.
Good.
I always wondered why they wouldn't do this, because they've done it in the F1 games. They've even done it in Horizon. I'm glad they've done that now.
We were disappointed in Forza 6 that wasn't there.
Yeah.
So good. Zing.
So next up was they showed a game trailer and we had to guess what it was until we saw the name at the end. And that was Metro Exodus.
Oh my god.
This looked good. The third in the series. We had 2033 and then Metro Last Light. Now, I've only played part of Metro 2033. I've got Redux versions on PS4. So I've not finished them yet. You're going to hate me for this, Robin. I didn't really think much to 2033, but I'm only on the early stages.
It's quite hard. It's quite hardcore. It's quite tough. Last Light would be a better introduction to it.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people say Last Light was real. That was your game of the year a few years ago, wasn't it? Or in your top five.
It would have been in there, yeah. It was very atmospheric. I'll be hands up. I haven't played 2033. I also haven't Redux. I started with Last Light, so I will play that. It's on my log. I will play it. But I think that there's in the Redux version you can make it a bit easier, which will suit me fine.
Yeah.
But it looked atmospheric. It looked as scary as hell in places, which there was creepy bits in the Metro. So. That looks like console exclusive for a while, blah, blah, blah.
Maybe for
a while, but it doesn't matter. But again, it'll look the best on Xbox One X. Yeah. Yeah, but no, look, great. Anything with a good story, and that's a good series, so good stuff to get that back again.
It's got a good pedigree with the books and the lore behind it.
With that series. Sorry, the note I had there was quite wolfy.
Yeah, until the wolves run away, and you're thinking, why are they running away? And that big mess of a mouth on a bear comes barging through that door. And I thought the Scott Light skyline hook to the train, although that looks a set piece cinematic, it looked absolutely gorgeous. So,
yep, good stuff. What was next?
Next up, they showed Assassin's Creed Origins, which is...
Oh my God.
The new one. Now, this has been just over two years in production now, because they used to annualise this and they've given it a bit of a break. And they say this is going back to the very start of the Brotherhood of Assassins, and it's set in ancient Egypt. I think they said 43 BC, I believe.
I know, it's a Yorkshire man is the main protagonist. Yes. He's called Bayek.
Bayek, lad.
Bayek,
there's something wrong there, lad. Yeah. So, yeah, we've got a Yorkshire man set in this in ancient Egypt. But, this looks really... I'm a bit biased because I love the Assassin's Creed franchises. The first game, it got me hooked. There was a few what disappointed me, but I still love the franchise as a whole. And I want this game big time. And I love the new Eagle Vision.
It's expanded to almost like an RPG market. I mean,
they said that.
It looks so big.
Yeah, they're introducing more RPG elements. The enemies now had levels on them. And you had an XP progression bar and you leveled up. The Eagle Vision has gone one step further where you're actually using your eagle to it's basically an animal drone.
Eagle Vision now with real eagles.
Eagle's a drone.
It's a drone.
What was that last game they'd done, the soldier game there? Was it just out recently that people played a lot of? Chinny really liked it. Sitting in Columbia or somewhere.
Wildlands.
Ghost Recon games. So your eagle is your drone.
Yeah.
One of the major questions of life has been answered. You can slide down pyramids, which is excellent. That's great news. It looks gorgeous. It looks good. There looks a lot of similar tropes as you would expect with an Assassin's Creed game, and small improvements. But yeah, that looks like there's a lot of potential. And it's October 2017.
Woo! Yeah, coming out soon. Yeah, not far off, really. And then they brought out a guy called Player Unknown.
I didn't realise this guy was from Ireland, to be sure.
Irish guy, yeah. And me and Fraser know this guy quite well, don't know him personally well, but we know his game. And that game's Battlegrounds. We've been playing quite a lot of this on PC lately. And it's coming to Xbox One later this year in the preview programme.
Exclusive to Xbox One.
Yep. Yeah, Greg and I hit that prediction.
Yeah,
I think I'm not quite sure how we came about, but we said between us that it was a possibility that Xbox would get this on an exclusive. And you and I, Mark, know that somebody needs to pick this up.
Yeah, and although I wasn't going to cover the PC part of the conference because they were just covering a lot of the games I've already seen, but they did mention a lot of the updates coming this summer in PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which is climbing. You can climb up fences and walls.
Over a fence?
Yeah, you can vault over fences. Because at the moment... At the moment, you have to actually either run the fence over or shoot it with a shotgun or blow it up to get over the fence. So they're introducing that. They're introducing some other elements and the new weapon, which is a bullpop weapon. So yeah, it looks quite neat.
It'll be interesting to see how this goes because, you know, this is for us, it'll be interesting because by the time this rolls around, we'll have put in hundreds of hours on the PC. But it'll be great, but it'll be different. It'll be right. You know, people will be playing it. I think it'll be probably first person only.
Yeah,
maybe. But it'll be a controller shooter. So that'll be different.
Yeah. How do you think they're going to handle 100 players or will they even be able to do that?
I think this is the thing, once the might of Microsoft sends in
GoDaddy.
I don't know who was it who said this, but I think it was I think it was Player Unknown, and he said this, and it gave a nice little insight into the industry, you know, is that once you have the might of these guys behind you in your game, now you almost have a guarantee of quality, because they will not allow this to be janky and get to the and not work, you know, to a certain extent. So, and they can send in their experts, and, you know, these guys say, you know, we're having a little bit of trouble optimizing this, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, we got a guy here. We'll, you know, bring him down, fly him into Korea to work on it with them for a week and get it sorted out. I think it'll work, and it'll be it'll be interesting.
And I presume I'm not that techie into servers or anything, but I presume, and I know it's a cliche, they keep saying the power of a cloud, but it's the server side what'll do the 100 players, because I'm sure that's how it obviously works on the PC version. So I'm sure the Xbox One will better handle 100 players, because a lot of it will be on server side.
And you have to remember as well, this game's very interesting, because you have 100 people playing, but you are never with more than you're never with more than 5 to 10 people in an area.
Yeah, and some games you can only see one person, and then you see them for about 30 seconds and you're dead anyway.
So the server side of things should be able to sort that out. It should be good. It's not going to be like a 64 player Battlefield game, you know. If they can run 64 player Battlefield games,
I suppose so.
I don't see why it should be a problem. So that's really you know, it's nerdy for us, but particularly for we're really excited about that.
I'm looking forward to this. And that's also coming this year, which is great too.
If you're not as loaded as Mike Chin and just throwing another 800 and not quid at a new PC just to play this game, I listened to Veteran Gamers today. Chin is buying a new PC just for this game. If you've got an Xbox One, it's coming later on this year. So it'll be interesting to see the price point on it as well, if it's in-game preview. I bet it's the same price as PC, so it won't be a full-price title, I wouldn't have thought. Next up was a game called Deep Rock Galactic, and this was like a Minecraft in space. It looked like a bit
Minecraft in space. It looked like fun, it's lighthearted.
They didn't really show that much of it. It was just a bit of a tease.
It looked like fun. Smiley game.
Yeah, but the next game we show quite a bit of, and I know Greg likes the original. I do as well, and Greg's excited for this. This is State of Decay 2, which is like more zombie apocalyptic action, and it's
holy crap! I remember this now. This is the one that the body got ripped.
Yeah,
apart the one of the with characters you were following. Off,
and left guts spilled out.
Picked up by this big guy, and
The thing I like about this game is it's got strategic base building qualities of it, as well as zombie bashing and looting for food and supplies. And it's got permadeath in this, like in the first game. You can nurture a character and build them up, expand their XP levels to increase their abilities, but once they're dead, that dude is gone, or dudette. And then you have to move on to another character, and you might get really attached to his character, and it might be super duper strong, but if you get one of his juggernauts surprising you and rips you in two, that's it. It's good night Vienna for that person. So
good stuff. That's coming out this year too, isn't it?
Spring 2018 for this one.
Oh, spring 2018.
Yeah, so
okay.
Not too far away. Next up was another Battle Royale style game, a bit more cartoony, and this was The Darwin Project. So this is a bit like The Culling, I think. They just drop, I think it said, 8 people into an arena.
I actually don't remember this at all.
I think it's just flavour of the month, this type of thing.
They had a guy on stage with a yellow T-shirt doing like a ringmaster type thing.
That was awful.
That was
the first cringe moment of the conference. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Next, they had some people come out and talk about the Minecraft updates coming.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The game that will not die.
Yeah.
The game that keeps on bringing the dollar bills in.
I
don't think they paid for it yet.
but it's on installments. HP. We were in the Discord chat while this was going on, and we were saying, is this going to be Minecraft 2? But no. And I can't see him really doing a Minecraft 2. You wouldn't need a Minecraft 2. But this is going to be having 4K updates. and they're going to have what they call a super duper graphics package. If you've got the Xbox
Super Duper, the Super Duper graphics pack, that's right.
And all this is coming in summer 2017, and they're also introducing crossplay with all platforms, in brackets, except Sony. They even showed the Switch on in there, like a blocky version on the on screen.
Imagine
demo.
Microsoft conference and they're showing a Switch on the screen.
They had iPads, they had iPhones, Android phones. So, yeah.
Shows what a cash cow Minecraft is. Now, tell me, why the hell are Sony not doing crossplay, Fraser? Because they didn't give a toss.
Well, there was the interview with the guy, and he was basically saying, look, it's just not something that we're going to consider right now. And it's whatever it is, the direction and whatnot. I mean,
he said it was because of the kids.
Protecting their customer base, but. So you're telling me there's no one on PlayStation Network who's a dick?
I'm not telling you anything, Mark. I know that you've got your swords out and you're sharpening your pitchforks and applying the kerosene to them. I don't know. I mean, look, Sony is, Sony, all these companies, move. Yeah. march to the beat of their own drum. Sony is no different.
Yeah.
They are a juggernaut. Now, Richard Webster was very kind to throw over some sales figures, which we mustn't forget is that even if you take Microsoft and Nintendo and add them together, they don't come anywhere near PlayStation. And PlayStation, I don't think, have to sort of hear Mark Wright, bashing out his Twitter, his tweets saying, Sony's got it wrong, or derby, 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 der. they don't, it just doesn't matter to them. And whatever reason they have, maybe they don't want to allocate the resources. Maybe they don't. They want to keep.
The interesting fact about that is, considering the amount of consoles they sell, the amount of copies of games is very, very similar. So the amount of people that bought PlayStation 4s and switched them on to play FIFA now and again, the very casual gamers, the PlayStation really attracted that customer. But the amount of software that's sold isn't that different between the two of them, considering how many more millions of consoles are actually out there. So there's a bit of we about the PlayStation 4 that people bought it because it was the thing to have. They'll probably never buy another console again until the next big thing comes out that catches people's attention. But yes, they are ahead on hardware sales, but software balances out a little bit.
I think that's probably right. Yeah. I mean, right now you get the sense maybe that that's always been the case. I mean, growing up, I mean, I know so many guys who bought a PlayStation 2, bought a copy of Grand Theft Auto for it and maybe Gran Turismo, and then never used it.
Mm. Yeah.
Never used it. It was just
my son got one just for Vice City, PS2. It got a copy of Vice City, and that's all they played on it.
But these guys didn't even continue playing. They'd buy FIFA, they'd play a couple of games, and then it would sit, because at least then they could go to the pub and say, I bought a PlayStation. I've got a PlayStation.
Yeah. I've got FIFA, I've done that.
What makes me laugh about this is
perhaps the Xbox crowd are a little bit more focused on actually using the console. Not everyone, and don't take
not
this the wrong way.
Yeah.
But, whatever. I mean, that's just backing up what Robin said. But
I think
Sony just are able to look, like Nintendo, march to their own beat. And who knows?
Because it's funny because about 10 years ago, the Microsoft network was very guarded and no one could have access to it apart from Microsoft. They would never contemplate crossplay. And Sony was the opposite, and they were doing these deals with Steam, and you could play with PC players and stuff. And now it's gone completely the opposite way. So it's a bit peculiar to me. I think Sony could have earned a lot of brownie points with gamers if they'd have said, we'll join the Minecraft party. Even if you just did it for that one game, it's showing the willingness to... They keep saying they're for the gamers. And 4 years ago, before the new consoles came out, I was all for PS4. And it took me a good couple of years to sway back onto the Xbox.
But it's okay, Mark. It's okay. If they can't play Minecraft together with everybody, they'll be able to play Rocket League with everybody.
No. Now, even Rocket League's coming to the Switch. And they're going to have to play on that. But, it's peculiar why they're doing that. I don't know. I personally, I think we've just got a bit of that. Oh, we're better than everyone else and got a bit arrogant, but that's just my feeling on it. And
well, big sales figures do that for companies.
Yeah.
You know, that's a confidence thing. We can do whatever we want to.
The last time we had that arrogance was when they launched the PS3 and, our customers will get a second job to buy this. Then we're not bothered. And it didn't work out like that. So it might bite them in the ass. We'll see. Time will tell.
And we're sort of bringing up a bit of the foreshadowing. And Fraser mentioned earlier that Microsoft will always be remembered for the fluff of the launch of the Xbox One and the Kinect and all the bits and pieces and Don Matrick and all that sort of stuff.
And I don't think maybe, that's quite what I don't think I said they'd be remembered for that. I think that they've inevitably always been playing a little bit of catch up. You know, they are without doubt second fiddle in this console generation. Yeah. And their actions have spoken. You know, they've had to roll out the guns at every point. And if they didn't do that, they'd be in trouble right now, I think.
I don't want to digress too much onto this, but I'd recommend everyone looking at the interview with Phil Spencer done by GameSpot. It's on the YouTubes and everywhere. It's a really good interview. It comes across really honest, and it basically says that they were on about exclusivity and like with it. If you buy it on PlayStation, you get extra skins or an extra strike. We were aiming at Destiny.
If Robin is sitting there going through his phone, he's going to pull up. He's going to pull up actual quotes from me written down. I can see it. He's just trying to find it.
What Phil Spencer says was,
because why else would he go so quiet in the middle of an argument that he wants to have?
They brought up that Xbox used to do that with Call of Duty, right? So they said, "Oh well, Xbox did that with Call of Duty," and Phil Spencer kept getting across that. That was the old regime with Don Matrick. He's not there anymore. He's in charge. He doesn't want to restrict the development of a future of technology. And that was his main message. And I thought it came across really well. So, yeah, highly recommend watching that interview.
Come on, Rob. Where is it?
It's putting it all in there.
Are we
moving on? Moving on. I didn't show much of this. Black Desert, which is a PC MMO, so they're porting this to the consoles.
Black Desert? Is that like a Black Forest Shadow?
No, actually, it's funny this, because Duke was on about this on the Veteran Gamers this week, and I thought exactly the same. Black Desert, it sounds like a military thing, like a Black Ops thing, like Desert Storm type thing, but it's not. It's orcs, elves, wizards and shit. A bit like a Diablo thing. So this is going to be a PC port of that MMO coming. I don't know when it's coming. I think it's 2018.
Yeah, this is the bit where all of the Japanese shit all came in, wasn't it?
Yeah, so there were a few smaller games. This one was a bit intriguing. They showed a bit of The Last Night, which was a bit of a pixelated thing like Thimbleweed Park, but
it was like Blade Runner.
Runner theme to it, and it like a side scroller type thing. It looked quite interesting. And then they showed something called The Artful Escape, and that was just like some psychedelic shit, weird stuff going on.
That looked cool, but that was the guy, sort of cartoony cutout paper guy with big glasses, and then all he was running along quite sort of normally, and then all of a sudden he's like a rock guitar guy. That looked really weird. Like a Stu Fowler game, definitely.
That's what we said in the chat. We said straight away that's a weird and shit Stu Fowler game. Sorry, Stu. And then we had the guys from Rare coming out and doing some more Sea of Thieves. This time we showed more gameplay. Last time we've seen like more ship activators. This time we saw a bit of adventuring off of the ship on an island, bit of treasure hunting, even under the water. Treasure hunting in shipwrecks, which I thought was quite interesting.
A big bloody shark chasing you. This looks just like so much fun. It definitely looks like a party game for four or more people. I love the bit where how you got onto the island quickly was you jumped into a cannon and got shot onto the island. It just looks like a bundle of laughs. It looks pirates, the whole thing.
And it just looked so, like you said, so much fun, and it looked absolutely gorgeous. Have you any interest in this, Fraser? You've not mentioned much about
this. I don't think so, but It could be interesting if it catches me at the right time. Right now, it didn't really look like something I'd be too interested in, but I could see it seemed to have merit.
Yeah,
I'm part of the alpha of it, and it is fun.
Well, I wasn't that bothered about signing up to the alpha, but after I saw the sexy stuff now with the catapulting out of the cannons and the extra adventuring and that, I've signed up to the insider program now, so I'm hoping to get into the next round of beta program.
There's so many twists and turns. So, say your crew goes to an island, and we're going to look at a map, and we go to a certain point, and you look at your compass, and it's 9 paces to the treasure, and you count the 9 paces, but because the camera is sort of going with you, so you can count your steps.
Yeah,
their head nodding. So while you're on the island, another crew can come along and get onto your ship and hide until you come back and attack you then as well. So I mean, there's lots of fun, and there'll be great stories of the crack we had that night on CFP.
Yeah, and even the reading of the riddles to find the treasure, one player held them up so the other player could go up to the front of him and read off
look off the shoulder.
I thought that's quite neat. So,
they rare a good pedigree. If they get the gameplay right here, the humour will be there, so that's what they do.
Next, I showed a teaser trailer for Tacoma, which is another PC game that's coming August 2nd to Xbox One. I don't even know what this is. I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is.
I don't know. Yeah, this should be familiar. I mean, was it Stu that has been talking about this, or someone's been talking about Tacoma? I should know about it, but what is Tacoma?
I don't know. Do you know, Fraser, because you like your PC games? Have you played this?
I have no idea, no.
Hmm. Okay.
Let me just have a look here. We go. It rings a bell for some reason, but I can't.
Tacoma.
Anyway, it's coming soon. It's coming out on August 2nd.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, I'm afraid.
Tacoma. Tacoma.
And
come with.
It's from the makers of Gone Home, so I won't like it.
Yeah. and yet again, another PC port they showed, but this is getting ported from a VR game. To like a non-VR version for Xbox One. So the VR version is called Lucky Tales, and the Xbox One version is going to be called Super Lucky Tales. And at first we thought it was Tales from the Sonic universe, but it wasn't, but it looks very much like him. But this looks super cutesy platformer. And I've grown up on platformers, and I love a good platformer, and this looks really, really nice.
Yeah, they really hit all the beats. I mean, there was big story games.
The coins, and collecting
the exclusives here, and your collect-a-thons, and this is the right up there with your ukuleles and stuff like that there, and your Mario games, and this Banjo-Kazooie stuff. Yeah. And this looked like lots of fun.
Which one are we talking about now? That tail one?
Super Lucky Tales.
I thought it looked okay to start with, and then the more I saw of it, I thought it looked really poor. It looked lame. Oh, okay. I don't know.
I'm quite interested in this. And next they showed, they gave a release date finally for Cuphead.
Yeah, a bit disappointed. I was hoping they were going to say, it's available now.
Yeah, you'd have thought.
It's been a long time, that one, eh? I'm pretty sure that one has been on the horizon since, four or five years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, I played this at least 2 years ago at Eurogamer. So
I think this was announced the first E3 after the launch of the Xbox One. And I know
Kingsbeam, I think this is going to be a damn squib. I think it's going to be probably...
Personally,
too much hype.
I'm not. Yeah, exactly. I think it's not for me. It's one of these. It's like a Super Meat Boy. It's a rock hard puzzle platformer. But I know Kim's really excited for it, so I'm sure she'll be happy.
Yeah, I think it's more of a bullet hell shooter, to be honest with you, as well.
A bit of that, isn't it? The art style, it's like the 40s cartoons, but it doesn't really interest me. Now the next game interests me because I love this franchise. And it starts off with Terry Crews in his agent outfit with a big gun going boom, and that is Crackdown 3. And it showed you some single player stuff this time. Before, in previous showings, we've seen multiplayer stuff where they're destroying the city, whereas in single player, you're not destroying the city, you're taking down the bad guys, the gangs. It didn't show you any bosses, but it showed you a lot of the enemies in the first area of the game, and the orbs. all the orbs and they're leveling up and powering up. And it's they showed what I wanted to see, which was the Crackdown 1 single player souped up for the next console. So
yeah, I think it's cool. I think they showed enough. I think they've got another big bite at the cherry. And I think they've held back a lot of stuff, Microsoft. I think they've got a lot more surprises yet to come at Gamescom.
Yeah,
and we'll see a lot more at Gamescom of this year, but I think you've seen enough of it as well. So
it's definitely whet my appetite for Crackdown 3. Crackdown 2 were a bit of a letdown. Bit
disappointing. That's an understatement.
But the first game, I loved that first game. And I've still got one fucking agility orb to get. And I'm going to go back to it. I'm waiting for it. I'm hoping that this is going to be backward compatible when they bring Crackdown 3. I thought they might have announced it today. I was a bit sad that they didn't say, and right now you can download Crackdown 1. But they haven't. I've still got my 360, but it's just not connected up. are you interested in Crackdown 3, Fraser? Were you a big
I was watching that one with my son, and he was asking me about it, and I said to him, this one could be the this could be a lot of fun for us.
I'm great,
pretty excited for it. Yeah,
yeah. I played a lot of this co-op with the guys when we were the 035s days with Parsnip and Steve O'Matic and all those guys. It was a lot of fun. Next, they showed a sizzle reel for the IDEA Xbox program. So we've got quite a few indie games shown here. I'll just go through them quickly. It was Osiris New Dawn, Brawlout, Ooblets, which looks a quirky, like a nice little calming game. Darklight, Strange Brigade, Riverbond, Hello Neighbor, and Conan Exiles. And there was a few more as well announced, I believe.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Conan Exiles, that got a lot of PC people going with it.
Now, I loved Conan Exiles at first, but I lost interest in it really quickly, which I was quite surprised at. But yeah, it's ever evolving.
Even
it's still early access, but and then they showed something, a new IP again, minimalist art style, third person adventure called Ashen. Now this looked really
interesting. My notes for this were beautiful.
Yeah,
I thought this looked gorgeous.
Even though it's minimalist, it looked gorgeous. The guys' faces were just blank, and one of them just had a mustache on, but it looked so endearing. But in the same token, the enemies look quite scary and spooky, and quite brutal.
Looking for
some of the action,
that's my sort of game.
Yeah, I thought this was quite a hidden gem in Microsoft's conference.
Could be right.
Yeah. Then they showed Life is Strange 2, announced the sequel to the Life is Strange game. Showed a trailer for that.
I am so glad that Red Dead Redemption is not coming out this year, because my new log budget is going to be stretched to the limit. I will be getting this, because I love the first one. It was well up there in my game of the year that was out. I love Life is Strange.
Yeah, I kept texting Greg saying, I'm going to have to mortgage my house. There's that many games coming. And then another one you liked, Robin, Ori and the Blind Forest is getting a sequel. Ori and the Will of the Wisps. And this looks beautiful. Yep. Absolutely beautiful.
As beautiful as Ori looked, it was all down to the platforming. So if they can make it as good a platformer as it was.
Well, a worrying thing is, in one of the interviews with the developers on the E3 dailies on the Xbox, they asked about the difficulty, because they said Ori was a difficult game. And they've said they've made this a bit more accessible for players, so it's not going to be as tough. Yeah. Now, that's the problem. Is it going to put people off, or is it going to be not as good because it's not as difficult? I don't know. I've not played the first one yet, but it looked absolutely beautiful.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant game. You left one out there, Mark.
Did I? Sorry.
Which I laughed my head off at, because it was some good characters in it, which is Shadow of Mordor.
All right.
It was in there as well. Right. And
that looked awesome.
Yeah, that looks fine. I giggled at that about the big, is it, what was his name? Basil or whatever?
Bruce.
Bruce was so funny.
He reminded much of Bruce the shark in Finding Nemo.
Yeah, he was brilliant. And even when he sort of changed, he mind melded with him and got him onto his side.
Yeah.
And I think it was the reason why it was so funny is the main protagonist was just the straight man, You know, he's such a boring, he was just a very boring character. Yeah. But all the characters around it were brilliant. It was very funny.
Yeah.
And brutal too.
Yeah.
So,
I really enjoyed Shadow of Mordor. So I'm really looking forward to Shadow of War, is it? I can't remember what it's called. And they've said that they're expanding on the Nemesis system, and all the enemies are going to be like unique, and you don't know when you're going to encounter certain enemy bosses. Because I said on my show floor, everyone's going to play the demo, and everyone's going to have a different experience, which is great. Cause I love that franchise.
So
I missed out on that. I didn't put that in for some reason. Then we had Phil Spencer saying that how successful the 360 backwards compatibility was, and then he sort of like stood there, and in the background we had the flash of green with the original Xbox logo, and then the crowd went wild. So we're getting OG Xbox backward compatibility, and the first game what we're going to be bringing to that is Crimson Skies. Well, I never actually played this. But I know it's got a huge following. I loved Simpsons Hit and Run on the original Xbox. I loved that game. I played a lot of that. Simpsons Hit and Run.
Star Wars Battlefront 2? Or Battlefront?
Battlefront, yeah.
The original ones. Yeah. And yeah, again, there's going to be ones. It's going to be nice to have, but how much time will you spend in it? I think the difference between it and the 360, a lot of the 360 stuff is still pretty current. You know,
pretty relevant.
Haven't played South Park, it's ageless. You can still go back to that.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff, the Dead Space stuff that I went back to, and there's still lots of stuff that's really relevant. How relevant a non-high-def game will be to play.
But at the end of the day,
I think
it's a choice for gamers. He said, if you want it, you don't have to play
And it
them.
Illustrates, and it's another string in the bow of them illustrating, hey, look, this is what we can do. You know.
It's the difference between them organize the hosting and the servers and the software side of it, rather than PlayStation's GoDaddy does our hosting for us thing. Yeah. So.
They mentioned that they will be getting 4K updates this year for the X release, for Resident Evil 7, Final Fantasy 15, Ghost Recon Wildlands, and quite a few other titles. So they're all going to be getting 4K updates. So as well as the games which don't get these updates, they'll still look better anyway on the one Xbox One X, but these in particular ones will be getting dedicated 4K assets. So that's good. And then they finished off with the new BioWare game, the EA new IP called Anthem.
Oh my god.
This was one of the highlights for me. Personally, I got the Destiny vibe with it, but you were in a power suit. So it's like not a mech as such, but you were in like a power suit. And it had that Destiny co-op feel to it where you were doing missions and that. And it looked really, really good. I like the weaponry.
I bet you inside those suits are really smelly. I can imagine that sort of that padded, leathery stuff inside that. And I bet you it would be really minging. You had to share people's suits.
Hang a magic tree in there, you'd be right.
Maybe. Yeah. This looked fab. Again, how much was gameplay? It was supposed to be all in-engine and stuff like that there. But it just looked like it could be a good thing.
Yeah, you got
taking the best bits out of all of those games you just mentioned into one really cool game. It's funny. Part of it reminded me of that game that was an absolute failure. You had one player played the monsters and the other four people the hunters. Yeah. Evolve. Yeah. So it looked like Evolve World. So it'd be interesting to find out more about it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to finding out more. And it's BioWare. They're just great developer anyway. So
I think that upset. There was some guy upset the BioWare team greatly by coming out. One of the main press guys saying, "Yeah, this is what the BioWare A team were doing while the B and C team were making Mass Effect Andromeda." I think he pissed off BioWare completely.
Nice.
I loved Andromeda anyway. That rounds out Microsoft. So, grades for this one. What did you think to this one? I gave it an A. because I really...
Oh, really? Surprise.
Because the Xbox One X, and although I was worried it was going to be $600, it was cheaper than I thought it'd be, and I knew it wouldn't be as cheap as what Greg and Robin was hoping it'd be, but they announced a lot of games, a lot of new IPs. I know a lot of them are cross-platform and they're going to be on PS4 as well, but they showed a lot of games and a lot of good stuff. So yeah, I gave them an A. It was fast moving, no lulls in it. The only lull I found was the, like you say, that Darwin project with that stupid guy, Matt Yellow T-shirt, doing like commentary. But apart from that, it was okay.
Yeah, I give them a B plus.
B plus.
Yeah. Or maybe I would have liked to have seen one of their, you know, anchor titles. Maybe have made a showing. But there you go.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think. Yeah, I might have missed this off as well. They did mention Halo Wars 2 is getting a DLC pack. So they did mention Halo to an extent, but there was no Gears talk or anything.
Well, for me, they did show an anchor, which was Forza 7. And that for me, is a very, very important part of my gaming. So, yeah, and Sea of Thieves, I would say, was a big anchor. And State of Decay 2 is getting there now as well. I would give it an A. I think they, as I said before, I think they've done exactly what they set out to do.
And people are saying they don't have exclusives. They're all exclusives, what you just said.
Yeah. To make it absolutely clear that the Xbox One X is the place to play third-party games and to enjoy their exclusive titles that are there as well. So, you know, 40-plus-something games they showed, that's fabulous. And made it interesting. And threw a new hardware to boot. And done the whole big Minecraft thing. Fabulous. Really good. Exciting. And OG. So they brought games, they brought hardware, and they brought new services that we can all enjoy.
Yeah. So the next.
I'm going to change mine to a C.
C. So the next conference we watched was the Bethesda conference. Now, last year this got a really good reception. I think, was it last year was their first one?
The Fallout
and everything, and all the Wolfenstein stuff. So
the year before,
yeah. So a lot of people had high expectations of this, and I thought the presentation of this conference was awful.
They didn't really show anything, and I think we're amiss if we spend too much time on it. I mean, in a nutshell, lots of stuff for VR for existing titles,
or Skyrim.
More Skyrim, more Fallout 4, great titles or whatever. But, the paid mods thing, which was pretty interesting, but, you know, has peed a lot of people off for some reason. I don't really pay too much attention to it. And Wolfenstein was the...
Yeah.
Wolfenstein and Evil Within.
Great one.
The three things what stuck out really for me were Dishonored. Although this is an expansion, it's a standalone one. Death of the Outsider, so it's a new storyline in the Dishonored universe. Evil Within 2, that looked really neat, but it was just a trailer, it wasn't actual gameplay. Wolfenstein 2, we all love Wolfenstein.
Yeah, Wolfenstein looked brilliant. Yeah. It looks like more of the same.
Yeah.
Later on, thick, do exactly what it's
Nazi
supposed to
occupied
do.
America, this one, this looks really interesting. And like he says, this one is fucking bananas.
This is the bit where it was the Nazi officer went into the cafe trailer.
Yeah.
And he ordered a milkshake and then it went all the way to bits. Cool. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was good.
So Germans. I gave this a C because there was a bit of good content in there with the three games I mentioned, but overall presentation, I didn't like the theme park
they
gave. Yeah. Next up was Ubisoft with their new logo. The first thing I noticed straight away was no Aisha Tyler. I've got a bit of a soft spot for Aisha Tyler. I think she's absolutely gorgeous.
I have to admit, I didn't watch this one, unfortunately, so I can't comment.
I'll just go through really quickly because I know I'm just conscious of time. Mario and Rabbids, a Switch game, standalone, sort of like, not standalone, exclusive for Switch. At first I thought this was aimed at kids, and then they introduced XCOM style turn-based combat.
I don't get
that's,
it.
That's complicated.
I don't get it.
Yeah, but it's not for me. But Assassin's Creed Origins, they didn't really show much more than what they showed in the Microsoft conference. This looked interesting. The Crew 2, sequel to The Crew. I know The Crew got a lot of flack when it first launched, but they did support it. They did release updates.
It's good, now.
And with the expansion packs on the original game, I really like The Crew. Crew 2.
This looked awesome. Yeah. This looked, wow. Looked at everything.
They're introducing air, land, and water vehicles racing, so it looks really good.
It may be a case of it's a bit of everything that masters at none sort of thing, you know, because it had lots and lots of stuff in it, but if they get it right this time, maybe.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It'll not be something that'll rush it to purchase day one, definitely not.
A bit more South Park, The Fractured Butthole. That looks good, douchebags.
Not a good story. Yeah. It's not going to look any better than the last one.
It doesn't need to, does it? Then they showed a bit of a weird live-action trailer for a new VR game called Transference. And Elijah Wood sat down and it didn't really give you a clue what the game was about or anything. It looked a bit weird.
That was VR. Interesting. That was VR.
Apparently that's what the Kotaku said in their rundown, yeah? The next game got me quite excited. Skull and Bones. Skull and Bones. This is a pirate game from obviously the team what did the naval battles in Black Flag, Assassin's Creed Black Flag. You could see that influence in this. And this looks really interesting. I've signed up to the beta on the Ubisoft website, so I'm hoping to get into that. But I'm quite excited.
It looks like they've expanded all the best bits of Black Flag, all those pirate naval battles, and it has some sexy pirates in it. And this looked like the grown-up version of Sea of Thieves. So that looks good. Whether there'll be enough in it to make a full big game out of it, don't know, because I mean, are you just stuck on your ship, or do you go to an island, or is it just ship battles? So, it'll be interesting. It got a good response.
Yeah. Then we showed Just Dance, and that bit was...
Best part of that was the girl that came on at the end. She was all about the bass.
And what was that fucking panda, man? He looked like he was on fucking drugs.
It was a really bad panda, too. It was really a scary panda. It wasn't a cute panda.
Yeah. And then a bit of a curveball, they threw in a mobile game, South Park Phone Destroyer. This looks quite good, actually. Cartman rings you up on your phone and says, "Hey, douchebag, you've got to do this and do that." This could be quite good. So I don't know when it's coming out, but it could be quite neat, this, for a little mobile game for your phone. Then they showed another Switch exclusive, Starlink Battle for Atlas, and it looked quite neat, this.
I do think this is coming out for other consoles.
Oh, is it?
As
okay,
well.
Right, yeah. Yeah. They showed Amiibo-style spaceships, which I presume for the Switch.
The Switch controller, when you put the two Switch Joy-Cons into their slidey holder, you actually build like a Lego ship on top of it.
Yeah.
And you can add different bits to it. I don't know, you must get a big bag of bits. It's another Toys to Life sort of thing. Yeah, another cash in. But the game itself looked all right.
It looked quite good, didn't it?
Steep
is getting an expansion out in December. Road to the Olympics. Winter Olympics coming. I remember the highlight of the conference for me were the last two. Far Cry 5 got a new cinematic and trailer, and they also showed some gameplay. That looks really good. I like the Far Cry series games, I'm excited for this, and it's a new
interesting. It's in America,
new setting
area, no law, no phones, and religious fanatics. That's like just where Amaris lives. Definitely. That looked brilliant. That looks like lots of fun. Far Cry have a good pedigree of game. This looks no different. In fact, they've expanded on it, and there's those planes and all sorts of weird, wonderful stuff going on there. And that's good. I wonder how well it'll go down in America if they're really digging at the religious far right. It'll be fun.
And then we had one of the best cinematic trailers I've seen in the whole of E3, which was Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Holy crap, this was class! It was but crazy. Was it a game or was it a movie?
I know.
If it was a movie, I want to watch the rest of it.
Yeah, I've actually had one of the best trailers I've ever seen. Yeah, I got some sound clips of a monkey and I've stitched them together. It's only 30 seconds long, so I'm just going to play this because okay. I love this.
Buon appetito! We're in time, motherfuckers! Easy, fuck me. Damn.
I thought that trailer was absolutely insane. I'd never played the original Beyond Good and Evil. I don't even know where it's about. But this, oh god, it really got my attention.
Alright, I'm gonna be that guy. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. it looked amazing from a trailer. It looked super stylish, or whatever like that. But you know what? I've been waiting 15 years for the sequel to Beyond Good and Evil, right?
Is that how long it's been?
To a game where I really, really bought into the characters and the style and the protagonists, Jade and Paige. Was it Paige? PJ or Paige? The Paige?
Yeah.
And this has nothing to do, as far as I can work out from what everyone is saying, this has nothing to do with that at all.
It's in the same universe, set before
Jade was even born.
Yeah, I've heard the woman you saw in that trailer who was controlling things, she's Jade's mother. That's what some were speculating.
She looks absolutely nothing like Jade, right?
She might be adopted.
And I just find it very odd that I have to wait for them to attach... You know, to say, here's the sequel you've been waiting for. That's not the sequel I've been waiting. That doesn't look like the sequel I've been waiting for. The trailers that they showed
something that looked like an Xbox 360 game now, or what?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if you are going to sit there and go, here you go, here's Beyond Good and Evil 2. Here's the trailer. Here's the sequel to the game that you've been waiting for 15 years. You know. They could have attached, you know, Star Wars Episode 8 to that, right? Here's Star Wars Episode 8. You know, it's nothing like anything you've seen before, but I just find it a little bit cheeky to take something that, you know, to take an IP, you know, to reference an IP that we all knew and played and liked, and then to make it completely unless they have something up their sleeve, right? But from what else I'm reading, they're saying that it could be 5 years before this comes out. You know what? You put a monkey in who was edgy and straight out of Snatch, and he swore a lot. Really? Because like I was playing Beyond Good and Evil the other day on back compatibility with my kids. This doesn't look like Beyond Good and Evil 2 to me that I can play with my kids. I've got Snatch the monkey who wants to shoot and swear. A load of old horse crap.
Okay, fair enough. That aside, if you forget that it's not your sequel that you're after, this looks fabulous. Yeah. But
it does.
It looks like a movie. It looked like the Fifth Element. Even the music reminded me of the Fifth Element. And then the scene in the taxi where they're trying to get away from the police. Yeah. That was the scene from the Fifth Element where they, near the beginning of the movie. God, I want to watch the Fifth Element again.
Phenomenal bit of action. Phenomenal bit of eye candy. Very stylish. Very cool. All right. Where's Jade?
And the developer came out. But the developer came out and cried. God, it's...
Oh, right, he cried, did he? Oh, right.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Where's Jade? Yeah. Where's Jade?
Thank you for getting us to here, but there's no gameplay, this is coming now, this is coming next, no Jade. Jade.
Well, that's the difference, you see, because I've no experience of the original, so to me, that was, like, all new to me, so I don't even know who Jade is. So grading time, I gave this a B-. I thought it was quite
Zed. Zed. Yeah, I'm with Fraser now, Zed. It would maybe rise to a C because of Far Cry 5 and South Park. But yeah, Zed.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Fucking monkeys.
And then we're getting on to the other powerhouse in E3, which is Robin's favourite company, Sony. This is a PlayStation conference.
It's not Devolver Digital.
It's not. That's not
covering
fair.
Devolver Digital.
No, I didn't watch Devolver. And
did you not watch it?
I heard it was horseshit.
You need to go watch it. It's just mind-boggling what on earth those guys are smoking.
Yeah.
That's all that we need to be said about that.
People
one.
Are saying they didn't even need to have a conference because they didn't even show anything new, apparently, did they?
I don't even know what it was about. It was just a little bit. It was just a bag of nonsense.
Yeah. Okay, and that's not fair when you say my favorite company, PlayStation. That's not fair. I have PS tattooed on my arm.
Oh, you said it was tattooed on your cock.
I did. Yeah. Well, it stands for Phil Spencer, but anyway, the cube stands for PlayStation. I have no problem with PlayStation whatsoever. It's just they're not giving enough.
I know. I'm joking. So they opened it out with some footage of Uncharted 4, The Lost Legacy.
Really strange, sorry. They opened with two DLCs. Great opening to a show.
Well, it's not. It's a standalone, isn't it? It's a new game. DLC. It's a different direction they're going in. Mm. It's going to be awesome.
It looks good. It looks good. Same old Uncharted. Yeah. I mean, I particularly was extremely excited about the climbing bit that they showed. That was awesome.
I was thinking about you when I was watching that. Climbing, yeah. I bet there's a bin that appears everywhere that you need something to climb up on. It'll be a bin with wheels. It might be 400 years old, but the wheels will run perfectly on it. And it'll be there. Don't worry.
What are you like?
It looked gorgeous. It does look lovely, and
we're
want to play
into
it.
The witchy now. This on is the witchy my hour place, podcast,
on right? my PlayStation 4, which I own, yeah. I will play it.
Remember, what was my game
of the year? My game of the year last year
Uncharted
was
4? Yeah.
Uncharted 4. Yeah. So, smoke that, Robin. Would you do that again? No.
The second thing we showed was, again, DLC. This was for Horizon Zero Dawn. That's getting an expansion called The Frozen Waste. I have to say, this looked really good. This looked awesome. I've not yet played Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm waiting for it to be sub-30 quid. In fact, I think it's on sale at the moment. But all my spare money is now going in my Scorpio fund.
It was very snowy. Yes, there was good snow effects.
So it's a completely different locale, different climate. So, yeah, it looked really good. And I know a lot of people are singing this game's praises. You liked this, didn't you, Fraser, this game? Horizon Zero Dawn.
I liked it up to the 20-hour point, and I got bored of it.
Yeah. And then they showed...
and I received a lot of hate mail for that, too.
Yeah, but that's your opinion. Opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got one. Days Gone. A lot of us are getting bored of zombie games, but this looked quite unique to me because the first time we saw this game last year, you was battling against the Horde, you was running from the Horde. In this one, he was using the Horde and the environment to his advantage to rescue his buddy. So I thought that was quite a different take on things.
Oh, that one. Yeah, that looked pretty cool.
Yeah, like last year they showed him, this annoyed me. From a mechanic side, unscrewing an oil filter from an old rusty engine, and he just screwed it straight onto his gun to make a silencer. Like, that's going to happen. For a start, he's not going to get that
Mark, right.
That filter's going to crush to fucking bits getting it off.
It's funny the things you can do with silencers. Yeah. My father, years ago, for one of my motocross bikes, made a new silencer for the back of it out of a fire extinguisher, a small fire extinguisher. Yeah. And it was packed with a pipe. So, don't say you can't maybe do that.
I've seen it done in other films as well, using filters. But yeah.
Days Gone look fantastic. Yeah. A lot of these things are starting to look samey.
I was impressed with the number of enemies on screen on this.
It looks brill. Looks good. Mm. It looks very good. I mean, the quality of their first-party titles here, which is kind of what they showed, looked really, really good.
This next one, Amras 89 was spunking all over Discord, all of this. I don't see the appeal to this. It's Monster Hunter coming to the PS4.
But he's a big fan of all that sort of stuff. Monster Hunter has a massive following. I've given it a go, and I couldn't find the appeal in there myself. It wasn't really my thing, but I get it.
But the guy, the sword's bigger than the fucking dude carrying it, which is that typical.
I didn't think it looked that great, to be honest, but there you go.
Yeah, so they showed a bit of Monster Hunter, and it got a rapturous applause from the crowd, so some people must like it.
They do.
And then they showed a remake.
So, when is Uncharted 4, is it coming out this year?
I didn't catch that.
And don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think most of PlayStation. I think what you're getting at, Robin, is most of PlayStation.
August 22nd
next year. So
August 22.
Yeah, I'm sure Uncharted this year, though. And I know Horizon Zero Dawn's late this year.
Uncharted's in August.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're like doing these to PlayStation. They're remaking a really old game. They're remaking Shadow of the Colossus. I thought the trailer was quite good. I've never played the first one, so I don't really know much about this game.
It was an epic game. The controllers were jank. The control was jank.
Well, they're not remastering it, they're remaking it. So they might address, tighten up a couple of things here and there. Yeah, it's really good.
It looked good. I'm quite interested in it. It depends on... If it's budget price, that'll be a bonus.
It's a puzzle platformer.
Yeah. And then they showed the trailer for Call of Duty World War II, because they now have exclusivity deals for Call of Duties. I had no interest in this whatsoever.
Call of Duty? World War II?
Yeah.
Boring. Move on.
Been there, done that, seen it all.
Yep. Seriously? Yeah. Are you finished with World War II?
Yeah.
But it is another Call of Duty game. It doesn't deserve any time. My sausages are waiting too.
Okay. then they covered a few VR games, Skyrim VR, Impatient, Final Fantasy, Fishing Game, what the fuck was that?
That looked great.
Yeah, Moss and Afterstar, so they covered a bit of VR. It's
something different.
Yeah.
Moss looked okay, I think, if I remember correctly.
I remember you did an extended look at God of War, showed a bit more combat, some of the monsters in it, and then give a bit of a story hint as to what his son is like, that he can talk to this huge sea monster thing.
They've made it a little more generic. I think the combat's a bit more generic.
Yeah.
Combat now, which is...
Yeah,
it's just, again, it's a dulled down of that. Everything's becoming the same.
Yeah, but I think it looks amazing. It's going to be...
Yeah, it did look really good.
Another game what looks amazing was the David Cage game, Detroit Become Human.
It did look interesting, but...
You don't like the look of this.
David Cage.
I know. His games get a lot of flack, but this does look... It's different, isn't it? It looks really good.
But is it though?
Is there a game in it?
We'll find out, won't we?
It looks to me like style over substance.
Yeah,
social commentary shit.
It happens a lot, does it, doesn't it? We see trailers.
The androids now. Yeah. Thinking for themselves.
We've been there before, haven't we? We've been there before with Brink, with Evolve. We all thought, this is going to be the new big thing, but then it turns out to be a damp squid. So,
you got Detroit with the androids. They want freedom and independence from what? I don't know. But right, or we could go to Final Fantasy Fishing. Who can deny that doesn't sound like it would be a hoot? Yeah. If you came around my house, what would you rather do? Play Detroit or Final Fantasy Fishing?
Tighten up those lines, boy. Tighten those lines up.
They showed a new trailer for Destiny 2, and they were sort of like pimping out the PS4 exclusive content. They've got a new strike called Lake of Shadows, which will be unique to PS4. There's an exotic weapon, new gear, and a PvP map called Retribution, which will only be on PS4, which Phil Spencer was having a dig at in that interview, and it was quite interesting how he said that.
Damn, Sony, holding back the frames per second that are capable on the Xbox One X. Yeah. They could run it at 60 frames, but because of the exclusive deal with Sony, they have to restrain it. Sony.
They might get some backlash for that, but we don't know yet. And then they finished off with what I thought was one of the highlights of a Sony conference, Spider-Man. Now, I've always been a massive Spider-Man fan from being a kid watching the cartoons. The games have not always lived up to expectations. Some of them have been good, some have been poor. But this looked... It had the Batman feel to it.
It did, for sure.
It looks superb. And I was tempted to sort of like sell my PS4 to get the Scorpio, but this game and also the God of War, they're sort of like making me keep the PS4 for a bit longer, so I'm going to hang on to it.
But Spider-Man's going to be cross-play on the PC as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's only going to be on PC and PS4. It's not, sadly not going to come to Xbox One, which is a shame.
Really? Yeah. No, not at all.
Yeah, no, we've got to deal with it, yeah.
So the same.
Oh, it's Insomniac. Yeah, well, that's... But yeah, as soon as I saw that the Insomniac logo in the bottom, I was like, eh, it'll be quality.
Yeah.
It'll be quality. It looked like fun. A lot of people were like, too many quick time events and stuff, but...
Yeah.
I don't care if it's fun, if it looks fun, I'll be up for that.
I watched that trailer back today. I couldn't understand why people said that, because there did seem to be a lot of actual gameplay in it. So,
it
looks good.
A lot of... how it went from gameplay to like set pieces to stuff is it piqued my interest for sure.
But you know what? I'd rather play a bunch of soulless androids trying to find their way in life. No way, man! Give me Spider-Man all day and every day.
Yeah, but they're real people. They've got souls.
Soul of a robot.
Gradings for Sony.
I give them an A-. That's a good score for Sony.
Yeah.
And that reflects the quality of the games that they showed.
I too gave them an A-. What I liked was they didn't have many people talking on stage. It was all games. Because I still haven't got used to this guy, Sean Layden.
No.
I still miss Jack Tretton. I haven't warmed to this new guy yet. So because we didn't see much of him, I thought that was quite neat. So, yeah, I thought it was a good conference overall. What would you give him, Fraser?
All right.
I'd probably give the same. I mean, I think he's okay, Sean Layden. Anyway, that's immaterial, really. Lots of games, so that was okay.
Yeah.
A few in there that looked fun.
Yeah, and finally...
Oh, did I give a score? Sorry, A-, same. A-, yeah. B, A-, whatever.
Yeah, they were just... They phoned that one in.
Yeah.
They buggered up my predictions by not doing anything hardware.
Yeah.
So be it.
I think we'll be covering predictions on Saturday. So the final conference we're going to cover tonight is the Nintendo Spotlight. It's not actually a conference as such. They do these video things now. Now, I don't normally watch these, but I watched this, and this is the first one I've watched, and I've watched all of it. But a couple of things in it which I weren't interested in, but... I actually quite enjoyed this, and I can't believe I'm saying that, because it's Nintendo.
Why?
I don't know, because I've never been into Nintendo, I've never been into the systems or the games, but I was quite impressed with this conference.
Reinforced my purchase, excuse me. My purchase of my Switch.
Yeah.
So...
They started with Xenoblade Chronicles, and I've heard...
No interest.
I've heard Gary and Hadley Dan and Jason of Lifelike discuss this... to quite some extent on the Wii U. And I have no really interest in this, but it looked okay for a Japanese game. But it's not my...
Sorry, Mark, which one?
Xenoblade Chronicles.
Okay.
Very anime, Japanese-y.
Yeah, it's a solid series.
Yeah.
Solid series with a good fan base.
It's got a following, yeah. The next one was a platformer, and it features Kirby. And I thought this looked absolutely gorgeous.
Really
nice, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like my platformers, and this, if I had a Switch, I would definitely pick up Kirby for that. Showed some Pokemon RPG game coming for Switch, but not this year. They didn't say it wasn't this year. But it's not my bag. They give a teaser for Metroid Prime 4, which got a
teaser. That was on my predictions list.
A teaser? They showed a 4.
Well, it's dreadful.
The teaser was the logo, yeah. I've not played any Metroid Prime games. I don't even know what it's about. But I know there's a huge following for it. It gets a lot of praise. And that's where the phrase the Metroidvania games come from. Is that right, Fraser?
Yeah, it's about a big lesbian.
Not from this one. Not from Prime. Not from Prime. No. Metroid Prime was first-person shooter. It was just awesome. Just brilliant. We've been waiting years. And we'll probably wait another few years too.
And Samus probably won't be in it. And the game that I've been waiting for all these years, it'll probably not even have Samus. For God's sake, it's not Metroid.
That's right. They'll remove everything that was good about it, and they'll just boil it down to some baseless load of rubbish.
Yeah. Then they showed another platformer with another of their sort of like staple characters, Yoshi, the little dinosaur dude. Sweet. And this had very much a tearaway vibe, because it had all the set on it was like cardboard and paper cutouts. So I instantly thought of Tearaway and Tearaway Unfolded. It had that feel to it, but it looked absolutely stunning.
Well, the catch with Yoshi now is that they have these unique styles. So they did it before with Woolly World, didn't they? And if you played Woolly World, it was a great platform.
Yeah, that looks really cute.
You know, again, this is Nintendo's wheelhouse, right?
Yeah, so. It's a staple diet thing, isn't it? Yeah. Then they showed Fire Emblem Warriors coming for Switch.
Like Xenoblade, solid series, has its following, don't know anything about it.
No. Then they said Zelda Breath of the Wild is getting some DLC this summer.
There are.
They didn't really say what it was, though, did they? Didn't go into much detail.
Stupid hats and uniforms and stuff, and some extra gameplay bits.
Yeah. And they showed a bit more of the Mario and Rabbids Kingdom thing, what was showed up at Ubisoft, but nothing much new. And then they announced Rocket League is coming to the Switch.
That'll be a great title.
It looked really neat. That is a perfect platform for that game, isn't it? You can imagine quite a few people gathering around and battling it out. So,
on the roof. On the roof. Kids.
Yeah, on the train.
All around a tiny screen.
While you're making dinner in the kitchen.
And playing with somebody on an Xbox on your roof.
When you get invited around for dinner, you pull out your Switch and play Rocket League.
Hey, let's do this. I'm so cool.
And then they showed a new Mario game, Super Mario Odyssey.
Looks brilliant.
And I've not much interest in Mario games, but this looked amazing. I liked the thing where he seemed to possess items.
Mark, can I stop you here, Mark? All right, I know you're the host or whatever, but I'm going to just interrupt you here. Now, what have you done history-wise for Mario games?
Like, I've played a little bit of one Mario game on a DS Lite. Were it a DS Lite or a... Yeah, a DS.
Okay, all right.
No, a DSi. DSi. I don't know what Mario game it was.
Move, away from, like, DS handhelds. Like, have you played any... Did you play any of the Super Mario Galaxies or...
No.
Played Donkey Kong
Sunshine,
in the Nintendo
Arcade? Or...
No.
You are missing out on an amazing experience. Yeah. I mean, even just going back to, say, like, the last one, which was Super Mario 3D World. Is an insanely well-crafted game.
Right.
You know, it's platforming at 11.
Yeah.
You have to get on board. I don't know how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
I would even say go down, pick up a Wii for 50 quid and play Super Mario Galaxy. You can revisit those games. 25 quid. Or go borrow one off your grandma who bought one, because they all
we've
did.
We've got one in the loft
for the grandkids when they come in.
What we don't use. I've got a Wii.
Go bring it. You should bring that down and get a copy of Mario Galaxy.
I didn't want to have to admit that, but yeah, we've got a Wii. One of my son's purchases.
I could go downstairs and I could, even just talking about it, I could go downstairs and fire up Super Mario Galaxy now and have a great couple of hours playing that. They're just amazing games. Yeah. And for you to, I'm saying that because for you to pick up on that, on looking at Super Mario Odyssey and seeing what Nintendo can do as a platformer. Yeah. I think you've really missed out.
I like the I get that each sort of like Mario game has got its own like unique traits, and this one I liked how he sort of like possessed something and it adorned his hat and in his mustache, and he controlled different objects and stuff or people, and I thought that was quite clever. But yeah, it looked amazing, it really did. For a Nintendo. I've always not even bothered watching the Nintendo stuff because I had no interest, but I was really surprised with this. What did you guys think of the conference? Did you, were you as amazed as it as I was?
I didn't watch it, but something like Super Mario Odyssey, Woolly's World, Kirby,
the platforms, they're
all
going to
be probably 9 or 10 out of 10 games.
Yeah.
But Mario never missed the board on those first-party titles like that. They just never do. So the fact that they're coming is great.
Yeah. It's great to see Nintendo finding its stride again. You know, fair play to them. Good.
Yeah.
Good solid B for me.
Yeah, I give them a B-, because well, the nature of a beast, there was a lot of Japanese stuff in there, which doesn't interest me, but there were some stuff in there which I really loved the look of, the platformers mainly. So, yeah, I give him a B minus. What did you grade him as, Fraser?
I give him a B.
A B.
There we go.
There we are.
So
not sad.
I'll give him a B. I'm going to knock off a point for just saying Metroid Prime 4. giving us anything more than that. I mean, at least, you know, they make my prediction right, but still, I would prefer they at least showed us a picture or something.
So is there anything else from the E3 conferences you've seen what you want to discuss?
Actually, I think they did. Didn't they announce, Nintendo announced a new Metroid 2D or 2.5D game?
Yeah.
Handheld? Yeah. I think that'll be good too.
So. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, it is. It wasn't Metroid 2. It was Metroid something else again. What was the name of it? Because it's very, very similar to the last game. Metroid game. It's come to 3DS. Samus Returns. Metroid Samus Returns.
Yeah, that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, and that looked all right too. Yeah. E3, yeah, there you go. Microsoft wins E3. Woohoo!
Closely followed by Sony. Yeah.
I don't know. I saw a great comment today where somebody said that Microsoft announces the most powerful console that's ever been made, and then a load of people see a hat land on a frog and they all lose it, right? You know, that's the Nintendo wins E3.
Yeah.
With a hat on a frog.
Yeah.
It is a great time to be a gamer. It's great to have competition and the guys pushing each other. We have got some great options out there for great services between all three, and now four with PC. So
competition's good, isn't it? I think Sony's going to have to revisit their advertising for PS Pro now, aren't they? PS4 Pro, because they were advertising it as the world's most powerful console. Now they might get done under Trade Descriptions Act for that now. Because it isn't anymore. Well, it won't be November. So, anyway, we'll see.
I don't know. It's interesting to see where the PlayStation Pro sort of lands now. I think it's just, if you're going to change your PlayStation, it's one to buy. You know, where the Xbox S is still a very, very good, capable 4K console. Mm. If you didn't want to go to the Xbox X. Richard Webster made a very good... I noticed the thing there. This was Xbox X.
Yeah.
Is full circle 360 X to Xbox to X, which sort of completes the family now. I can't wait. I'll have my pre-order in as soon as it's ready. Mm. Which is funny. I'd say a lot of us guys will want that straight away.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure they get that same vibe, because there's maybe just not enough of a difference between the PlayStation and the Pro.
They reckon load times are going to be drastically improved.
Well, we'll have to see about a lot of that stuff, I suppose, as it comes out. Yeah. There'll be a lot of talk between now and then. Yeah. And with Gamescom, I think Xbox have a lot more to show. I mean, they didn't touch on Gears or Halo or a lot of those stuff. So I think there's going to be a lot of talk at Gamescom as well. Yeah. So I'd say they're saving themselves. And a lot of the stuff they talked about is coming out this year.
Yeah.
Out of those 40, a lot of that's coming out this year. Mm. Oh. Good. Yeah. Well done, Mark.
Yep.
Well done, Mark. Give us a feedback. How was the hosting? What did you think about that?
Then? It was okay. I enjoyed it, yeah.
Of course it was. They're natural.
Yeah, I might have to do a slot with you guys and let Greg just do one week.
You can have my slot.
You can have mine as well.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Robin and I are off on holiday.
Anything else you want to guys add?
No, I think you did a bang up job, mate. I gotta go get dinner.
Yeah, go get sausages.
Right, so I just want to thank everyone for watching live on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. Or if you're listening on your podcast audio device, I hope you enjoyed listening to this. I know it's a long show. We always have these E3 specials. That's why we've done it as a separate show. Let us know what your grades are for the different conferences. You can tweet us at OC_podcast. You can email us podcast@ocpod.com and let us know what you think of the conferences. And we'll cover all these on Saturday when we review our predictions. We'll go through what you guys think of it as well. So like I said, our regular show will be back on Saturday, usual time, 11 p.m. So on behalf of Robin, Fraser and myself, enjoy the rest of E3 this week, and we wish you a very good night. Thank you very much, guys.
Bye.
So long.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.